2 Samuel chapter 2. After this, David asked the Lord, "Should I go and up and take control of the towns of Judah?" "Yes," the Lord answered. "But to which one?" David asked. "Hebron," God said. So you see all the way through that although God has now killed Saul or allowed Saul to be killed in battle, and that was the time when David should become king, he's very humble. He doesn't assume things. He always asks God all the way through to guide him, and that's really an example to us. So David went to Hebron, taking with him his two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel. And his men and their families came, and they settled in the area around Hebron. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron and anointed David as king of Judah. And when David heard that the men of Jabesh-Gilead had buried Saul, he sent men there with a message. "May God bless you for showing your kindness to your king by burying him. And may Yahweh be kind and faithful to you too. And I also am going to treat you well because of what you did. Be strong and courageous. Saul is dead, and the people of Judah have anointed me as their king." What I love about David is that he doesn't try and take revenge on Saul and Saul's supporters. It's as if he goes running around desperately trying to show as much grace and kindness as he can to those who had been his enemies. So there was going to develop a kind of civil war between those who still supported Saul and those who supported David, even though God had said that David was to be king when Saul died. And so these men of Jabesh-Gilead were clearly supporters of Saul, and they made this big fuss about burying his body. But David goes out of his way to be kind to them and to be gracious. So he really is an example of loving your enemies. The commander of Saul's army was Abner, son of Ner, and he'd fled with Saul's son Ishbosheth across the river Jordan to Mahanaim. There Abner pronounced Ishbosheth to be king of the areas of Gilead, Asher, Jezreel, Ephraim, and Benjamin, and all Israel. He was 40 years old when he was made king of Israel, and he ruled for 2 years. But the tribe of Judah were faithful to David, and he ruled in Hebron over Judah for 7.5 years. Abner and all the leaders of Ishbosheth's group went from Mahanaim to the city of Gibeon. Joab, whose mother was Zeruiah, and David's other officials met them at the pool that was in Gibeon, and they sat down, one group on one side of the pool and the other group on the other. Abner said to Joab, "Instead of all of us fighting each other, let's get some of our young men from each side to fight a duel." Joab agreed. So 12 men representing the side of Ishbosheth and the tribe of Benjamin, the supporters of Saul, fought against 12 of David's men. Each man caught his opponent by the head and stabbed him just at the same time, so that they all 24 fell down dead together. And so that place in Gibeon is called the Field of the Sharp Knives. Well, I think the point of that is any kind of conflict between brethren is just lose-lose, and there are never any winners really in war. It might appear that way. But I think what they should have done at this point was to say, yeah, this is not going to work. Let's not resolve this by conflict. And often in the Bible, you read things like this and you think, well, what should they have now done? What should they have now said? And what they should have now done was to say, yes, obviously conflict is not the way to resolve things. But then a furious battle emerged and Abner and the Israelites were defeated by David's men. So they didn't do what they should have done, which is to say conflict doesn't work. The three sons of Zeruiah, who was a woman, were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Asahel could run as fast as a deer, and he started chasing Abner. Abner looked behind him and said, "Is that you, Asahel?" "It is," he replied. "Stop following after me," Abner said. Asahel, however, kept on chasing him. Once more, Abner said to him, "Stop chasing me. Why are you forcing me to have to kill you? How ever could I look your brother Joab in the face again?" But Asahel kept on following him. So Abner, who had a spear in his hand as he was running, thrust the spear backwards and the spearhead went into the belly of Asahel so that the spear came out at his back. Asahel dropped to the ground dead, and all the people who came to that place stopped and stood looking at him. But Joab and Abishai started out after Abner, and at sunset they had come to the hill of Ammah, to the east of Gia, on the road that goes to the Gibeon wilderness. The Benjamites gathered round Abner again and took their stand on the top of a hill. Abner called out to Joab, "Will the sword keep on devouring forever? Do you not see that this will be nothing but bitterness in its latter end? We are your fellow brothers. How long will it be before you give the order to stop chasing us?" Joab replied, "I swear by the God of the living ones that if you had not spoken, my men would have kept on chasing you until tomorrow morning." So Joab blew the trumpet as a signal for his men to stop chasing the Israelites, and the battle stopped. Abner and his men then marched through the valley of the Jordan all night. They crossed the Jordan and marched all the next morning and returned to Mahanaim. That was like their capital. When Joab gave up the chasing, he gathered all his men and found that only 19 men were missing, as well as Asahel. David's men had killed 360 of Abner's men, all of them Benjamites. And of course, Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin, so these were people supporting Saul. Joab and his men took Asahel's body and buried it in the family grave at Bethlehem. Then they marched all night, and at dawn they returned to Hebron. So the two groups are described really as doing the same thing. After the battle finishes, they both march all night and come back to their capital cities, David's men to Hebron and Saul's supporters to Mahanaim. And I think the point is that it was also pointless, that all conflict between brothers is absolutely wrong. But people don't learn that lesson. And there should always be dialogue. And it must grieve God so much to see fighting and conflict between those who are all members of his family. We can actually hurt God, and we can actually hurt Jesus by how we behave.